Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Welcome to Give Me Your Heart. I'm Margie Campbell, Christian wife, mom, and musician. This is a space where I offer encouragement to women in all walks of life who desire to grow closer to the Lord, and especially moms and grandmas who are discipling young children. I am so glad you're here.
October. It's here. I love it.
Prettiest month of the year by far.
I can remember back to the day that Michaela came home, not just Michaela, but all the kids came home from youth camp back, like it was August 1st, the day they came home. And they left and it was like 110 degree heat index. And the day they came home, they sent a picture. They went to Freddy's and they ate, you know, the burger joint.
Yes.
And they're all eating ice cream, hamburgers, whatever it is. But they have on hoodies. Michaela had on a sweatshirt and Kelly had on a sweat jacket. And I'm like, Clara's wearing a coat or, you know, like a hoodie.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what a difference. And what that made me long for was October.
Yes.
Where it's, you don't need a coat yet, but you can wear a nice light jacket, a cute little corduroy something or another.
Yes.
And, but you're a college girl. You're like, or I could live in a hoodie.
Exactly. And I have lots of hoodies for that purpose.
Flannels. I love flannels. Oversized flannels.
I like layering.
Yes.
Yep.
You know who has a sweatshirt for every occasion? My daughter in love.
Yes, that's true.
Lil has got a sweatshirt for every occasion. And like cute sweatshirts.
Yes.
Nice, fun sweatshirts.
Yeah.
And anyway. So it's not just the crisp air that makes me love October so much. It is literally the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I like spring. I like when the buds are blooming. And,
yes.
You know, I do. And I love my flowers on the porch in summertime. So I really, you know, and I love a freshly fallen snow. So it's not that I don't like those other things.
Yes.
But I feel like October is God's like crowning, like, watch this, you know, I almost said, hold my sippy cup, you know, hold my coffee.
It's definitely my favorite month of the year.
You have always planned your wedding for October. Mm-hmm. Julia, always. Uh-huh. It was always
but all
our
of the
niece.
Colors, they're my colors. All of, it's all just.
Yes. But Julia's wedding, the green emerald dresses and her red hair and the outdoor. It was, you know, it was breathtaking. It was magazine worthy. And that was, it's not like she did anything. It was, I mean, she set everything up, but it was the backdrop that was so gorgeous. And I loved it. It was good.
So we are continuing our talk about daily bread.
Really? Because I'm not thinking bread. I'm over here thinking flowers. I zoned out for a minute.
You zoned out. You're,
you know,
you're in
okay, I'm just
going
to say it. What I was thinking about was Julia being pregnant and the baby.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And she has made the announcement, so I guess we can say it on the podcast.
I mean, yeah.
She made the announcement. She is, so we're going to have a new niece, cousin, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I get distracted by babies. Work with me, okay?
We
were talking about her red hair, and then I started thinking about Vivian, which is her other little girl. And then I got, so there was like an awkward moment there because I was lost. Aunt Tracy sent me, she'll send me little pictures or videos.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about those things.
Well, I said daily bread, and so now I'm thinking about the other day we were at the quilt shops in Hamilton, and there's a store that has little wax or little candle waxes. And Si and I were going around and smelling all of them. Silas is six. And one of them, the name of it was freshly baked bread. And Silas and I were in a debate about whether or not it smelled like my freshly baked bread.
Okay, well, you know what I'm thinking is, if I'm wearing a hoodie all fall, I can eat whatever bread I want.
Uh-huh. That's right.
It is bread eating season. Uh-huh. We talked, so right now we're talking about bread.
Yes.
And I can only imagine that the smell of that candle, mm-hmm. the smell of bread,
yeah,
is, it's so, well, everyone, everybody in podcast land, just take a minute and go there.
Yes.
Who is your favorite bread maker?
Me. But because I get to do all of it, like I'm in the middle of the bread making, like.
Okay. When I
enjoy the process of.
Okay. That. When I think bread, I think my mom.
That's what my second thing would be I just, grandma, her French bread.
Any of it.
But if I have a core memory is her putting her bread up above their fireplace mm-hmm. to let it raise.
I can remember you kids were little and she would bring the bread to church and let mm-hmm. it raise in the church kitchen for Sunday dinner during Sunday school.
Yeah.
And you guys would all go through there and be like, my grandma and da 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 da. And I'm thinking just how rotten you people were that you were so, you know, nobody else's grandma was bringing homemade bread dough to church and letting it rise. And I'm not putting anybody else down. I'm just saying that we are so spoiled and blessed by her cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
By her.
Absolutely.
That she's been making an artisan freeform yes. type of thing last winter. It's not really mm-hmm. bread season right now, but last winter she did a lot. And so if there's something that I can't pass up.
Yes.
My mom's bread is mm-hmm. one of the things I'm not going to pass
yes.
up. Another is a piece of her pie.
Yeah.
I mean, because uh-huh. reality, my mother is 75. Hopefully I have another 20 years with her.
Yeah.
Both of my grandmothers lived well into their 90s, but there will come a point that I won't be able to eat my mom's bread,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and to come in and smell it and to put butter on it.
Yes.
And so is there any comfort thing like bread, you know, really, is there? What is the one hobby that took off during COVID more than anything else? Do you know what it was?
Sourdough.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a comforting thing. It's also a staple.
Yeah.
Man will not live by what? Bread alone. But, yeah. And so bread is the basic building block mm-hmm. of a diet, which is why it seemed like when keto came around, mm-hmm. when it first really kind of took off, not as a medical diet, but as a fad, I can remember your Grandma Mary saying, bread's in the Bible. I'm not giving up bread.
Yeah.
and yeah. she does very good on like dirty keto or keto type yes. of thing sometimes. But there was so much wisdom in that of, mm-hmm. I think what maybe, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think what she would say is bread is not bad.
Yeah.
What we have done to flour.
Yes.
What we have done to bread.
Yeah.
That is bad. Mm-hmm. The bread that we're talking about with sprouted whole wheat flour or sourdough and the ferment, mm-hmm. that bread is not bad.
Yeah.
And it's comforting and it is good for you and it is nourishing and so God uses that, and we talked last time about several definitions in the Strong's Concordance.
Yes.
For the Greek word for bread used in the New Testament. And one of those definitions was bread that you would eat. And one of them was the kind of the analogy of anything. Give us this day our daily bread, meaning anything that we might need, right?
Yeah.
And then we also talked about how bread, Jesus is in the Bible called the bread of life. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to flip over, if you would, uh-huh. I got your Bible out there, and read the model prayer. I want you to read the whole thing. And listeners, we are going to focus on give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
So listen to Mary Caroline read this.
This is Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. So we talked spiritually last time about dead people don't get hungry.
Yes.
And the very first thing that any of my babies does when they're born is eat.
Yes.
Yeah. I put them to the breast immediately. Mm-hmm. It is not a couple hours later kind of thing. If you are alive, you're hungry.
You must
eat. Yeah. And that goes down to the smallest worm in creation to human beings. If you are a physical being, you are alive. Mm-hmm. If you are a plant, you need to eat. If you're a branch, your entire job is to drink.
Yeah.
It is, you know. And so we've talked a lot about this. If you are not spiritually hungry, are you alive?
Yeah.
Or are you spiritually dead? And one of my favorite quotes, and I don't know who said this first, but it's really stuck with me. And that is, Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to make dead people alive. So when we talk about bread, we're talking about Jesus telling the New Testament listeners, the people that were in his presence, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And that is spiritually what you should be hungering. And so when we say eat the word, we mean read the Bible.
Yeah.
Take in Jesus's words. And
yeah,
we believe that every word of the Bible that we have in front of us is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
Is eating God's word, memorizing God's word.
And one of the ways that we do that is scripture memory. And last time we talked about memorizing individual verses, and especially verses that we've put to song.
Yes. And while it's wonderful to memorize little individual verses and to come back to those for child training or for daily encouragement, they only serve as a hook to help you remember the entire passage that that verse is from.
Explain that a little more, the hook.
Oh, sure. I explained this in a podcast during our first season about history books.
Yes.
Not a dry history spine like you would have used in school, but living books.
Okay.
Think
fictional
things like...
Historical fiction.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Historical fiction. So either big novels or just little chapter books, but you are more likely to remember and order history in, as a timeline in your mind if you can tell me a story that happened during a certain time period. So as a teacher, I like to have my kids read lots of stories and narratives when I'm teaching them history, so that as I get to the Civil War, they go, oh, Across Five Aprils.
Yeah.
Or Harriet Tubman. And they, these are like hooks that they can hang their hat on this long timeline of history.
Yeah.
And they can kind of scroll through to those hooks. And so when they think, or maybe when I think, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So if I'm having a rough day, needing to persevere, what's going to encourage me? That verse.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason that you're persevering. It's not an accident. God has put you in these circumstances to cause you to persevere. And the point of persevering is so you'll have hope.
Yeah.
And why hope? Because hope in Jesus does not disappoint. There's more to what I'm doing right now, these dishes or handling this leaking toilet or whatever. It's a persevering thing.
Yeah.
And the Lord has planned it for me. and he's making me hungry for him. So I'm going to eat this food of this Bible verse. Okay, yeah. But it should take me to James and to chapter 1 and get me into what was James talking about? Mm-hmm. What was his point? Not just taking that one little Bible verse out of context.
Yes. And that is so important because of what you just said, because of context, because the Bible is a collection of 66 different books written by 40 different men over a 1500 year span, but all inspired by God himself and meant to be interpreted as a complete unit.
Yes. And the rule of studying scripture is that you interpret scripture mm-hmm. by scripture. You use scripture to interpret scripture.
Yeah. And one way, which I believe is the correct way to study scripture, is verse by verse through a complete, at least one chapter, but preferably an entire book.
Yes. And our pastors preach like that. And that method has a name. It's called expository mm-hmm. preaching.
And for critics of that method, I would say, what other area of your life do you pick up a book, read two random sentences, close the book, go pick up another book, read two more random sentences, do it a third time, and then you go formulate a thesis statement for a 5-paragraph essay and try to make all of that cohesive.
Mm. What kind of grade do you think you'd get on that paper?
Well, I'm really good at just making stuff up.
Oh, Mary Caroline.
So I would.
Is
this
why your eyes are brown?
I would get in trouble with the works cited page.
Yeah. Well, you'd be able to cite your sources and you would probably come up with a great paper because you're a really good communicator.
Thank you.
But the paper would reflect your mm-hmm. opinions, your thesis, not the original opinion of any of the three authors that you cited.
Exactly. Exactly. It's kind of like when Dalton used to read the Cliff Notes instead of the actual book in high school lit.
Nice.
And we'd get around to book discussion with Mom and Luke and I, who would not read, like we would never not read an entire book, would have these really deep discussions about the protagonist and the antagonist. And then Dalton would just throw in some random fact from the book and we'd look at him and be like, "You totally did not read this book, did you?"
Okay, something like that. I need to call your big brother as soon as we finish this podcast.
We knew this because Luke and I were always fighting. We only ever had one copy of anything. So we were always fighting over whose turn it was to read the book. And guess who never came looking for the book?
Oh, that is so funny. Well, there are always going to be those students in high school and college lit that can get by on the Cliff Notes. But we have an entire generation mm-hmm. of professing Christians who are doing that to the Bible. They are cliff noting their way through life.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to judge that. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to say you are missing the greatest help that you could ever have to get through life.
Well, the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible and Jesus calls him the helper and said that he had to go away so that he could send the helper.
And we have millions of people not mm-hmm. accessing that help.
Yeah.
It's right there. And they are going through life without it. And my heart's desire is that people would access that help by reading their Bible and mm-hmm. not just reading it, memorizing it and meditating on it so that the helper, the Holy Spirit, can do his job and actually help them.
Yes.
Because when I was quoting that verse from James a while ago, when I am cleaning up a toilet or chopping vegetables or I don't know, whatever it is I'm doing, unless I have my earbuds in, which I really
can't do most of the time,
then I don't have access to the Bible. It has to be hidden in my heart.
Okay, so memorizing entire passages of scripture, it sounds very daunting and overwhelming and undoable. And I'm sure there are people tuning you out right now because they've either tried and failed or they've never worked up the courage to even try.
So you think there's a lot of people rolling their eyes right now?
I think there's a few. I've met some of those people.
I think some people are probably just doing like I do and switching to another podcast.
Probably.
Like, this one's not for me. Stay here. Hang on. Please don't leave. It's just unacceptable not to memorize God's word. You can't live the Christian life well without the helper inside your head. And how you get him inside your head is through the Bible. and stop.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's impossible to live out scripture if you don't know it, because you can't just pause every time you're in a hard situation to go look up what the Bible says about said situation. And I've had an actual conversation with a person who said it's unnecessary in the modern world to memorize scripture because the Bible is always at our fingertips and God wouldn't command us to unnecessarily stress ourselves like that.
Phooey. That is a Megan word. Megan says that. Oh, phooey.
Oh, phooey.
She would say that. Oh, phooey. We have got to stop living life through our devices. Yes. It makes us dumb. Sharpening my brain and my ability to focus is paramount to living any amount of success. Yeah. Anyone that disagrees with that statement is someone who hands their small children devices for 12 hours a day and then acts surprised when they're incapable of focusing in kindergarten when it's time to, you know, put the device down and focus. Devices train you to have an attention span of 15 to 30 seconds.
Yeah. Can you cite your source on that?
Me. I'm the source. Okay. It is actively every single day destroying my own personal attention span. My iPhone is.
Yeah.
And I hear that same testimony from every single adult I am in relationship with. Yeah. Every single one.
Yeah. So how do you memorize scripture?
Around the table. It's in community.
Yeah.
It's purposeful. Mm-hmm. If you feed your belly, you feed your spirit.
Yeah.
Now, do we do that perfectly? No, but it's the rule. It is the standard. It's the goal that if we feed our bellies, we feed our spirit.
Yeah.
And so around the table also is community.
Yes.
And the number one thing about memorizing scripture is that you don't do it alone.
Yeah.
I have memorized things alone.
Yes.
But many times I've gotten into Facebook groups where women were memorizing scripture as a group, or I've paired up with a girlfriend. But mainly, the main way I've memorized scripture is in the community of my family.
Yeah.
So not just big group either. I think pairing is very good. And so around the table, yes, it's happening 2-3 times a day, but also putting people in a 2-person group.
Yeah.
Older with a younger, or not necessarily an older with a younger, a responsible with a rebel.
Yeah.
You know, because you send 2 rebels to their bedroom to memorize scripture and you're going to get a Lego tower. You know, you're going to get, I don't know, you're going to get a lot of things. You could get the fire.
They're going to come back and be like, well, we didn't memorize it, but we made a play and we want you to watch.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Here, I was thinking that the window was going to get busted out by this really cool trick with a bungee cord and a, Anyway, pairing up. And maybe one parent with this child, one parent with this child, and just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just a couple of minutes. Okay, so brain-based things, maybe you need to write it on a card.
Yes.
And put it in the dash of your car, put it, you know, post it someplace where you're going to see it, keep it in front of you.
Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend that she painted her a Bible verse on the mirror, her fold-down mirror in her car. Because she uses it quite a bit when she's like going to work and things, Aubrey. And so she has her Bible. Mm-hmm. She has a Bible verse written on the front of her thing. And she.
So what has to happen is that you see that verse several times a day.
Yes.
And I know this from teaching my children poetry that, and I can cite someone here, Susan Wise Bauer, the story of the world.
Yes. Yeah.
And several different writing curriculums, first language lessons.
Writing with skill. Is that
writing with ease, writing with skill. All of that is Susan Wise Bauer. And she got, you know, all of her ideas from her mother, Jessie Wise. Mm-hmm. And Jessie is really just, you've got to repeat it. Mm-hmm. You've got to put a script to it and you just need to repeat it.
Yeah.
And even recording the poem on a little tape player for the child.
Yeah.
And just letting them hit play whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
And so you're, you know, like Nate would never feel like it. He would. Silas would be listening to it all day long. Nate would be like, I didn't feel like it. So Nate is the kid that you're like, okay, buddy, we're going to fold laundry now. And you're, you're just going to hit that tape player three times while you're folding laundry.
Yeah.
Where that little recorded poem is. Mm-hmm. So recording a verse onto something, a device that you can play.
Yes.
Just saying it before mm-hmm. supper three times, before snack time a couple of times.
Yeah.
Every time you hop in the car. Okay, guys, what's our verse? Mm-hmm. And saying it.
Yeah.
It really repetition.
Yes.
Hearing
absolutely.
It and saying it. And you
all of that together.
All of that together. Yeah. But I'm not going to play like Pollyanna here. I have to, especially my boys, sometimes Daisy, make eye contact, uh-huh. give the stink eye and say, you mm-hmm. on your own for the people. Yeah. Say the verse.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they are just zoned out while the people pleasing children are participating. You look guilty right now. It's not a problem to be a people pleaser. Well, no, that's not true. It can't be. But when I'm trying to get children to memorize scripture, it's super helpful. Thanks for the example. But yeah, you used to go
Luke would be over here like catching like the last couple words,
throwing in the last word of the sentence, and then I'd have to go no,
do it by
Luke
yourself.
And he knew them.
Yeah,
he knew them, but he wasn't going to practice them.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that okay, so that goes to the next thing is, yes, you're memorizing a verse at a uh-huh. time, but you have to do review because your goal is to memorize a chapter.
Yeah.
And so you have a new verse every couple of days.
Yeah.
And I think three verses a week is a pretty good aim.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing that's going to wear anybody out. It's not going to make it, oh, my goodness, are we doing this again? But the two or three verses and then whatever you've already memorized, you know, you once a day, once every other day, you're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter mm-hmm. and you're going to review. And you're going to review as a group and you're going to hold people accountable and review, you know, one kid at a time. Yes. And I found something that works really well is, you know, like you probably don't, but drug tests at work, they're random.
Yeah.
To make people nervous. just to, you know, pressure to keep you on the up and up. So I found that random forcing the review is very helpful.
Okay.
And also little prizes. Hershey's Kisses uh-huh. do a lot.
Yes.
For
well, even I do that. Like I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way or to think that this could turn into legalism if you're not careful. So, you know, I have to be careful with it. But requiring myself to recite my whatever verses I'm working on before I reward myself with like opening up my phone screen time or some sort of snack or any other way of checking out. I've come to find out that it's a really powerful tool against escapism because sometimes I'll go through that verse and it helps me put my mind back where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, you know what? I don't need to get on my phone right now. I actually need to go do such and such.
And when you recognize that, then this becomes a way to ground yourself.
Mm-hmm. That is such a buzzword.
What, grounding?
Yes. Everyone is talks about grounding sheets, going barefoot to ground yourself, mm-hmm. all of that. And I'm 100% in favor of all of that.
Yeah, but it's good stuff.
This is the spiritual side of that. This is grounding yourself positionally.
And that brings to mind the song we sing about the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. One, God is who he says he is. Two, let's see, I've got to... One.
God.
Oh, wait. No. So it's Hebrews 11.
Yes.
And now faith is confidence in what we hope for. And now faith is assurance about what we do not see. And I choose to. Yes, I choose to. Yes, I choose to believe. And what do we believe? One.
God is who he says he is.
Two, God can do what he says he can do. You about lost it there. Three, I am who I says I am. I am who God says I am. And then four, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And five, God's word is alive. God's word is alive and active in me. I choose to believe.
Yes. Okay. Yes, so we made it.
What? Yeah, we about butchered that in several places. But God,
that third and fourth
yes,
point.
Yes, the one about me.
I am who God says I am, and I can do all things through Christ. That is grounding yourself positionally. It's giving you a rock to stand firm on when you're fighting negative thoughts, negative situations, negative people. I mean, and that's
yeah,
yeah,
right. And yeah. It's all that is based. That song comes from Hebrews 11. Verses 1 and 2, yeah. And I've been in Matthew. I am gonna have to fix my this microphone so I can look down at my Bible, or I'm gonna get a migraine.
This is called the Hall of Faith, and our church just spent years. We just finished Hebrews, but we were in the Hebrews for years, going verse by verse through the entire book. Charlie and I memorized the first chapter of Hebrews and part of the second, and then we went through the book verse by verse with our pastors. And if you want to know who Jesus is and what he's about, yeah, go to Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
It is the place to go.
Well, I'm going to read it straight through. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect.
They would not be made perfect apart from us.
Okay, well, first, may God bless the reading of his word.
Yes.
That is a beautiful passage of scripture. It is worthy of meditating on. It's worthy of memorizing. It's not something I've ever done, the entire chapter 11 of Hebrews, but it is worthy of it. And yes, that last line, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That might mean more than what I'm about to say, but it doesn't mean less than they suffered these things so that we would read about them and have faith.
And that speaks volumes to what we're saying here. First, God chose to have us read. He could have communicated with us in 1,000 different ways, but he didn't. He spoke to us through the written word.
Yeah.
And that book has been given every bibliographic test that archaeologists require in order for a book to be considered historically reliable.
Yeah.
And it passes those tests better than any other book in any other century in the history of the world.
And it's proven itself through fulfilled prophecy hundreds of times over.
And I'd really like to just take a moment and speak directly to my generation. I know that most of the time this podcast is directed at moms and grandmas who pretty much they're already living out the trajectory of their life. But I also know that there are young women who might be listening who have no idea what trajectory their life is going to take. And the vast majority of my friends are married. Many of them are mothers. And very few, I have one, hey, Aubrey, who is single, pursuing some kind of job training or higher education, serving their local church, serving her family, or just the local community. And we're wondering, you know, Father, what do you have for us? How do I not waste this time? I feel like there are so many of my peers that are simply wasting their time. They're wasting this time. They go to their job or they go to their classes and then they're playing video games, doom scrolling, living for the next season of their favorite show. they're not serving anyone but themselves. And they're being told that, that it's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
It's encouraged because, quote unquote, these are the only years that you will have to yourself. And after this point, your freedom will all go to your job, your kids, your spouse. And all that mindset is going to lead to, once you do have those responsibilities, is discontentment and hopelessness, because all you did during your 20s was escape reality and fantasize about the Hollywood-worthy version of your future life.
Ow.
And then when you don't get that idealized life, you revert to the behavior you spent all of that time practicing in your 20s, and you escape from reality in whatever way you can, whenever you
can.
Well,
but hold up. I mean, practice, what is the saying?
Makes perfect. Oh, yeah. No, permanent, not perfect. It makes permanent.
Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent.
Mm-hmm. And that, because the issue, it was never a problem with your current reality. It was a problem with being grounded in your position in Christ.
And knowing who you are.
We've got to stop trying to figure out what we were made for, because he already told us.
Preach.
And so.
Oh, you're not done.
I want to sing a song that I've written. And it's really from my heart. And no joke, it's been about 2 to 3 years in the making. My freshman year of college.
Have I heard this song?
Bits and pieces.
Okay.
You haven't heard the whole thing. But
are we singing it today?
Yeah.
Do you have chords for me? Am I playing?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, you can
do this.
Well,
I'm going to need them.
You can do it. You're fine.
Okay. All right.
But
see how she abuses me? We're going to go live in 3 minutes, Mom. Here's a chord chart.
We'll take a break after we're done. I'll cut it in. It'll be fine. So my freshman year of college, the contemporary choir sang a song. And it's one that just about everybody in my generation, or at least anyone who saw the Barbie movie, which I have not, will recognize. It is "What Was I Made For" by Billie Eilish.
Okay, it was better than Korn. That was this year in contemporary choir.
That's true. I won't argue with that.
Okay.
And it's a genuinely haunting song.
I've literally not heard it unless I heard it by accident in Walmart or something.
And it gets you right in the feels. And this choir, this is one of the first times that I really heard this song. And I kind of got obsessed with it. I listened to it quite a bit, mainly because as a songwriter, I really analyze lyrics.
Okay, so is this like Stevie Nicks? What is that song? Landslide? Your Aunt Jo used to play Landslide.
I've never heard this song. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't have any idea?
No.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe I would recognize it. I don't know.
Okay, I can't even sing it. But she would play it over and over and
over. But that's what I did with this song.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I listened to it like all the time.
Moody.
Charlie hated it. It was a whole thing. And so anyway, one time I was driving home and I was by myself. And I had this song on. And I was in the feels. Tears and everything. And then this thought.
Did you have on a hoodie?
Probably. And I truly believe that the thought I had was not of myself. I know that it was the Holy Spirit that popped into my head. This thought popped into my head and it stopped me immediately. And I can clearly remember exactly what it was. And it was, "What are you doing? You know what you were made for. I already told you, now start acting like it." And
well, that was a moment.
I need you all to know that it wasn't a literal voice I heard over the radio, but I do believe with all my heart that it was prompted by the Spirit.
The Holy Spirit doesn't come through your radio sometimes?
Because that moment, it started a chain reaction of change in my life.
Okay, now stop right there. So many people say, "I had a word. I've got a word," you know, like charismatic type of thing. And so two really important things you've said so far. The first one is it matched scripture. Mm-hmm. It matched Hebrews perfectly. I have, you know, it matches Psalms 139. Mm-hmm. I formed you.
Yeah.
I created you. I have a purpose and a plan for you. Mm-hmm. I've told you who you are, if you are in me, all these different things. But what you're, and I may have interrupted you too soon here, but what you were about to say or what you're saying is that supposed word you received was followed up by confirmation. Mm-hmm. Things began happening, mm-hmm. not weird off the wall things, but like steady things began happening that confirmed.
And it things that I could not have initiated on my own. Mm-hmm. And so I will never forget that moment And the soul and the message of this song, it has been being created ever since.
Wow. Well, this is how we're going to wrap up today's episode, is with this song that yes. has been in the works for 2 or 3 years that I've never heard. Okay, well, let's pray and all right. bring this down. Father, we love you. And we are grateful that you love us and that you are involved in us. You didn't just save us and then walk away. You didn't just create the world and then say, hey, best of luck. I'm going to sit up here and see how this plays out. You are in control, and you are bringing the circumstances of our life every day with a purpose. And these situations that you prepare for us are causing us to need you and causing us to persevere in the faith. They're stretching us and growing us. And my prayer is that we would remain, that we would ground ourselves in your word, and we would remain under the pressure and participate in what you are doing in our lives for your glory, as opposed to escaping into entertainment and distractions and a million different things that can draw us away from being involved with what you are doing in the world, what you are doing in each of our individual lives. You created us with a plan and a purpose, and we are here for your glory. And I pray that I personally would stay grounded in your word. And I pray that my children would stay grounded in your word. I pray that my husband would stay grounded in your word. I pray for my pastors and their wives and children to stay grounded in your word. And I pray that each Christian woman listening to me would join in that prayer for her husband and children, for her pastors and their families. I pray that each single woman listening to me would pray that for her community, for the just the group of people that she has built around her. Lord, our nation needs Christian women who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've got to stay grounded. So I pray that you would use this song that Mary Caroline has written to draw us all back to our purpose, which is to glorify you. I pray that you would help us to play it and sing it for your glory. And I thank you for the written word, for making it available, and for speaking to us from it every day. May we never, never, never have dusty Bibles. We keep them open and keep them in our hearts and in front of our faces and in front of our families. We pray this in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, until next time, ladies,
give God your hearts.
Another day, but I know what that brings. Another 24 hours of wondering why I'm here. The sun's up again, same as yesterday, I guess that's a win. I say count your blessings, but I've just been counting days. And all these voices, mental radio, trying to tune you in, but my dial's stuck on my soul. They say love yourself, find out what you're made for. But if that's the answer, what was I made for? I was made for glory, but not my own. I was made to fall in awestruck wonder before a throne. And I was made for beauty, and I don't understand. I was made to know that I can't, but in your strength I can. I was made not to be, so that by your grace I am. Well, the mirror don't lie, I'm not perfect, but I'm fighting inside. And the dead don't fight, so at least I know I'm alive. And I was chosen before I ever knew what this life had in store. And in spite of it all, I know I'm held in your hands. So no more static, put myself on hold. I'm tuned and clear, now let your truth unfold. They said find yourself, but I've found who I'm for. I'm made to wander hopeless anymore. Cause I was made for glory, but not my own. I was made to fall in awestruck wonder before a throne. And I was made for beauty that I don't understand. And I was made to know that I can't, but in your strength I can. And I was made not to be, so that by your grace I am. And I am convicted, yet I'm redeemed. And I am a traitor, and yet a child of the King. I'm a sinner at a cross, and you're the ruler of it all. And I am yours, and you are mine. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise, let them flow in endless praise.